This episode of Own the Gray is brought to you by I Am. Discover your unique talents, realize your potential, and align to your path. Take the first step to uncover your life purpose by visiting deborahjones.ca/courses. Welcome to Own the Gray, a podcast to dispel the notion that aging is undesirable and setting new positive attitudes. I'm Deborah Jones, and I believe you can be vibrant and healthy throughout the best years of your life. When Sherry Eberts and Gail Hannon met, they realized that they shared a passion for changing the world. Gail is a past director of the National Board of the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, and she developed a hearing awareness program for elementary school students across Canada. Sherry serves on the board of directors of the Hearing Loss Association of America and has produced an award-winning documentary called We Hear You, Now Hear Us, a groundbreaking film to build awareness, community, and a more inclusive world around hearing loss. Welcome to Own the Gray, Sherry and Gail.
Hi, great to be here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's good to talk about this topic because it really seems like this is a topic that people don't want to talk about, do they?
Not all the time. Hearing loss is unfortunately something that people feel like they need to hide. It's very stigmatized. So it's good to have this opportunity to talk about it with you.
Yeah, and it's great to have two people that have hearing loss in their own personal experience. So you have hearing loss, Sherry, don't you?
I do. I think it's actually a genetic hearing loss, but it didn't start until my mid-20s, or I didn't notice it anyway until my mid-20s.
Yeah. And Gail, you have hearing loss too.
I do. I've had it for a long time. Excuse me. Actually, my entire life, because I was born with it. Cause unknown, which is very often the case with not genetic, but it happened at birth or it happened during pregnancy. Mild as a child and now very profound hearing loss. So I have a lifetime of experience with it.
Wow. And so you both co-authored a book. Why did you write the book?
That's a great question. Well, both Gail and I are tremendously passionate about advocating for people with hearing loss and about hearing loss issues. We had both sort of been advocating individually. And during the pandemic, Gail had reached out to me and said, "Hey, do you want to partner on a project together?" And neither of us had really partnered with anyone in terms of our writing. You know, our writing was always very personal, very individual. But we felt that putting our heads together, we could really do a much better job of laying out sort of a formula, a handbook, a way to live skillfully with hearing loss. And when we compared notes, there were just so many overlaps in terms of the things that we had pieced together in order to live skillfully with hearing loss. So that was sort of our goal, was to really put that forward and, you know, put two heads are better than one sometimes.
Our journeys are very individual, yet they're the same. When I say our, I don't mean just Sherry and me, but everyone. And I had written a first book called The Way I Hear It, and it was a survival guide, but a lot more memoir-based, and like so many books are. And I wanted to get back to strategies. I wanted to get back to the things that we need to do. We kind of moved away from that, and I didn't want to do it alone. Sherry and I knew each other. I admired her work. She has a focus. She's a bit more, much more technically focused than I am. She's much more organized than I am. And we both brought things to the table. And this was actually May of 2020. Pandemic was just setting in. And we did the entire thing over Zoom and Google Docs. And we only saw each other again for the first time after 3 or 4 years this past spring. And it's been a labor of love that we're very proud of.
It's very exciting. I know I'm an author too. That book getting out there is like birth of a baby, isn't it?
Certainly.
Absolutely.
Sometimes this is painful. So then your message, from what I'm hearing, then your message is to help people live with hearing loss. So there's a couple of directions that I want to go, and it's to talk a little bit about when we discover that we can't hear as well. There's such an emotion attached to that. Can you talk about that part of the journey, like the very beginning?
I think that, you know, even though I grew up with my hearing loss, I think that for people who acquire their hearing loss later in life as an adult, the immediate reaction is pain, grief, and disbelief. I mean, how can this be happening to me? For two things. As Sherry said, so stigmatized. It was always historically tied with lesser ability, lesser cognitive, lesser smarts, and that it's still a lingering stigma today. And the other thing is, communication is the glue that connects us as people. Hearing loss impacts that glue, and it brings a separation between us and the people we love and every day. And that is hard to deal with. We don't know how. And that's the thing. We don't know what to do.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, everybody reacts to hearing loss in an individual way. But what we found in our research is that there's actually a pretty typical journey that people go through in terms of stages of their hearing loss journey. Not necessarily the stages of the, you know, the physical thing that's happening, but of their emotional activities. And the first stage is, we call it debating with yourself. Because, you know, you're probably having trouble hearing, but maybe you're in a little bit of denial and you're looking for other things to blame, you know, anyone or anything else other than your poor hearing. And that's something that can last for, you know, they say 7 to 10 years. I was very, very stigmatized by my hearing loss. I had watched my father struggle with his own hearing loss, and I saw him isolating himself. I saw him, you know, being secretive about it, laughing at jokes that he hadn't heard. And so when I discovered my own hearing loss, I did the same thing. I followed in his footsteps and lived in sort of this period of denial and stigma for many, many years. So that first stage of the hearing loss journey sometimes, you know, can last quite a long time. And then the second stage is validating. So it's when you finally decide to go get that hearing test, and it may not be what you want, but now it is official that you have hearing loss. And it's actually a very important step. And I would encourage any of your listeners who might be thinking that they might have hearing loss, or maybe someone in their family, to really take that important step, because the knowledge and the facts are so important in being able to make good decisions about your health and the way that you want to live your life.
That's great advice. Yeah, I have a question then. So does it get worse if you ignore it?
Well, I don't know if your hearing loss necessarily gets worse, right? It's not that your hearing loss is impacted by that, but there are studies that show that your cognitive abilities are impacted. Hearing loss is very much associated with isolation, depression, and unfortunately, a higher incidence of cognitive decline. Even with low degrees of hearing loss, if you have a mild hearing loss, you still have twice as much likelihood of developing cognitive decline. And this is a study that was out of Johns Hopkins led by Dr. Franklin. It's a very interesting and scary, you know, study for those of us with hearing loss. But the good news is that if you don't ignore it and you take steps to do something about it and to continue to be engaged with life and individuals and communicate, there is evidence that you can reduce that risk.
Mm-hmm. I think in addition to that, as Sherry said, and it's been fascinating stuff. If you ignore it and you try and bluff your way through situations, bad habits become ingrained. It impacts your relationships. It impacts how you function on the job, because you're always trying to second guess what was going on, and people might assume things about you that have nothing to do with your hearing loss. So there's so many physiological reasons to address your hearing loss, as well as relationship-wise and emotion. There's just so many reasons that say, hey, it's hearing loss. And there's things you can do to address it and make life better.
Mm-hmm. So the title of your book alludes to the fact that there's a skill involved in working with your hearing loss. What do you mean by the skill?
Well, there are multiple skills, really, in terms of of living well with hearing. I wish there was one skill. but what we have done is put it together as sort of this three-legged stool of skills, because three-legged stools never wobble, even when the ground is bumpy, which I still have not figured out why that is the case, but
It's math, Sherry, apparently.
It's physics. Yeah. I think it's okay. Yeah. It's math, it's physics. I do find that very interesting, but still. And so we have these three legs of the stool, and they're different types of skills. One is something we call mind shifts, which is all about attitude change. And we talked about how a lot of times there are negative emotions that come with hearing loss. And so this is your opportunity to turn those around. We're not saying like, oh, you're going to snap your fingers and say, yay, I have hearing loss. That's not how it works. But there are ways to put it into perspective and to shift things around so that you are now thinking proactively about how you can do things better rather than feeling like, why me, or really wallowing in some of those negative emotions.
So it's really like an empowerment piece, isn't it?
It is very much an empowerment piece, and it can be done, and how well you do at it is part of your personality and how many negative attitudes you're dealing with and that sort of thing. And I just want to throw out my skills. A skill means that, first of all, you have to learn about it. If you don't have a skill, maybe you don't even know about it. And it's something you can get better at. And that's what we talk about in the book. All of these skills, including the next two legs that we haven't got to yet. Once you know about them and learn about them and you practice them and become aware, you can get better. And that's where the word skill comes in. It's not a technical, clinical flipping on a switch. It's part of a process. And it's the hearing loss journey that I know it's kind of trendy to talk about journeys, but that's what it is. It's a journey. It's not like a puzzle you figure out and then you solve it. It's a journey. It's ongoing, because most of us, when we have hearing loss, most people will have it forever. And the second leg is technical, and it's not just hearing aid, as Sherry said. It's today. Oh my gosh, there's never really been a better time to have hearing loss than now. The array of technical devices. Like right now, talking to you, I have all sorts of devices that are streaming into my cochlear implant and my hearing aid. And it's just amazing. It brings us closer together. And there's just a huge array of devices, which is the second, technology is the second tool. And the third leg is?
It's our non-technical skills. So we call them communication game changers. And these really are behavioral shifts that you can do. Things like identifying as someone with hearing loss. So if you let people know and ask them to speak louder or to move their hands away from their mouth, so you can do a little bit better lip reading, you have a much better chance of actually communicating well. So things like that, things like speech reading or lip reading, using visual cues and other information to help piece together maybe some of those things that you might be missing from an auditory perspective. And the way the stool really works is that each piece is incredibly important, and each piece on its own is critical. But when you put the three together, it's really when the magic happens, because you have the proper attitude, which leaves you to be more open to experimenting with technology, being more open about identifying as someone with hearing loss, advocating for your needs. And so it's really sort of that combination that comes together to have the biggest impact.
That's cool. So that three-legged stool is the mindset shift, the technical side of things, and the communication changes that we need to do. So I had also learned from listening to one of your podcasts that in August of this year, the FDA have made over-the-counter hearing aids available. So that's the technical side, but I would think that that's pretty much a game changer too. What do you have to say about over-the-counter hearing aids?
Well, I think this is a very exciting moment. You know, Gail said, I think it's the best time to have hearing loss, right? If you're going to have hearing loss, this is the time. I think over-the-counter hearing aids are very exciting. Now, they're not for everybody, right? They are just for people who have mild to moderate hearing loss. And so what does that mean, right? It's that you have difficulty communicating, but that, you know, a little bit of amplification is going to give you some assistance. And that's why these devices will work in those cases. They're simple devices, right? They're not going to be as technical or as well programmed as some of the devices that are needed if you have a more severe hearing loss. But I think it's an opportunity. We were talking about that first stage of the journey, the debating with yourself, and how that can take 7 to 10 years. And I feel like this is an opportunity to really narrow that window for people, because it's a much easier way to get help with your hearing situationally. So maybe you don't have problems hearing in every situation, but maybe you do in a loud restaurant. Or maybe you do at a lecture where the speaker's very far away. And this is an opportunity to sort of take those steps into taking charge of your hearing loss and doing things to communicate better that I hope will set people on the road to continue to do that should their hearing loss get worse over time.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. Like right now, this is just an American thing and not yet available in Canada anyway. But although a certain number of devices are, you know, available on the internet, so many of them are, if it's cheap, you're going to get what you pay for. So that's why people around the world will be closely watching how the rollout of the over-the-counter system. So fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. It's been exciting to see the companies that are going into things like this. You know, like there are a number of consumer electronic companies, even Apple. You know, the Apple AirPods Pro that everybody's walking around with them, there are ways to use those as simple hearing aids now by connecting and using the microphone on your iPhone. So it's going to be really fascinating, I think, to see just this innovation and new companies coming at this issue of hearing loss. And so that, you know, will, I think, hopefully create new and exciting products for everyone along the whole spectrum as this rolls out over time. And of course, hearing aids are very, very expensive as well. And so over-the-counter devices will be a more cost-effective option for entering the market as well.
And most importantly, they're going to help remove stigma. Yes. And, you know, just by people walking around with AirPods in their ear and everything, and people walking along the street seemingly talking to themselves, you know, it was hard for me to get used to that a few years ago. But all of this is going to normalize hearing loss. And this is a common human experience. And let's stop stigmatizing it. And if we have it, let's embrace it. Not maybe with joy, but at least let's do something about it. Yeah.
Well, maybe with joy. Maybe there is some joy. I remember hearing a story about, I'm not sure which one of you was in the bar and you have your own personal story. I think that was you, Gail, was it?
We have so many stories. But this was a big aha moment for me in my life. And I was 40 years old. I was looking for help. I was pregnant. I didn't know anyone else with hearing loss. I didn't want to harm my baby because I couldn't hear him. So I went to a hearing loss conference with other people with hearing loss for the first time in my life. And I walked in that conference, one person, and I walked out another. I learned that I wasn't alone. I just learned all these great things, including how not to kill my baby. So on the final night, a few of my new friends and I, we went out for a drink. In Hamilton, Ontario, and we walked into a bar and there was no one else in the bar except this table of four people in the corner, presumably what we call hearing people, they could hear. So there was 7 or 8 of us that sat down. And I tell you, Deborah, there is nothing louder in this world than a bunch of hard of hearing folks who've been drinking wine. We were loud. And at first, and I was uncomfortable and embarrassed. I kept looking over at this table of 4 people in the corner. They kept shooting looks at us. You know, we were all clearly very loud. And I was a bit embarrassed. And then I went, so what? So what if we're loud? That's the way we are. It's okay. And that was such a life-changing moment for me. The stigma just kind of fell off my back that I honestly didn't even know that I was carrying. So it was a huge, huge step forward for me.
I love that story. I love that story. I can actually just picture that as well. And that aha moment, it's like, that's just it. You know, we worry a lot about what other people think of us. And there's an example right there. And when you finally, I guess there was like an acceptance of it is what it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to sort of come to that realization that everybody has something, and this maybe is part of yours. And so to just accept it and view it as just an opportunity to learn new ways of communicating, which I think is wonderful. I think the other important point about Gail's story, though, is finding peers, you know, other people who can share in the experience. And for me, that was a huge life-changing moment as well, because it helped me overcome my stigma. I saw that there were other people who were like me. I had started my hearing loss in my mid-20s. I didn't know anyone with hearing loss except for my father, who was also so stigmatized, he didn't really want to talk about it. Right. And once I finally was able to meet other people and see that, you know, there were successful professionals in all walks of life at all different ages who were advocating for themselves, advocating for people with hearing loss in general, and creating change in the world, positive change in the world, to make things more accessible, not only for us, but for everyone. And so me sort of seeing that and then connecting with these other advocates and other people with hearing loss just made me feel so much less alone in the struggle. And so that was a huge turning point as well, because you get that strength from other people and it helps you to move forward more confidently.
Right. So where would you suggest people go to find your peers? Because everybody seems to be either hiding their hearing loss, or, you know, you don't necessarily know that somebody has hearing loss. How do you find your peers?
Well, the simplest, and it really depends on how much you use social media. And this is just the first of several things Sherry and I are going to talk about. But many people turn to things like Facebook. And there are many hearing loss groups on Facebook, many different types of hearing loss. You can find single-sided deafness. You can find, there's a fabulous new one called the emotional side of hearing loss, and which is one of the better ones. And there are many, many different types. And you can go in with a question and people will answer. The caution that I make on that one is that people are coming in with their own experience and often a biased experience, often very judgmental. And so you really have to weed through all of it. But that is one easy way to reach out. And it does give them a feeling of peace that you know that there's other people out there. And then there's the hearing loss groups. So maybe Sherry, you can talk about them.
Yeah, so they're in the United States, and really around the world, there are hearing loss associations. So in the US, it's the Hearing Loss Association of America. And they have chapters that are located in different local markets around the country. And so if you want to be brave and go to a meeting in person, you can do that and meet people face to face. But many of them, because of the pandemic, moved their chapter meetings onto Zoom. So it is actually an opportunity to sort of stick your toe in the water. If you don't feel like you want to sort of just show up in this room full of all these new hearing loss folks that you don't know, you can sort of stalk them a little bit on Zoom and join some of the meetings. And there really are tremendous ones. The New York City chapter, which I'm a member of the HLAA, they've been drawing people from around the world to some of their chapter meetings recently. There usually are speakers about, you know, sometimes it's audiologists, sometimes it's ENTs, you know, doctors that work with the hearing system.
Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's
advocates who are talking about the skills that you need to live successfully with hearing loss.
And in Canada, it's the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, and it doesn't have as many branches as the HLAA does, but it is reachable online. There's different services that different organizations offer, like where there's a peer mentoring program. If you need to talk to someone, you don't want to be, as Sherry said, like there with a whole bunch of people, you can have someone work with you one-on-one. So, but you know, Sherry, when she talked about, you know, sort of be brave and show up at the conferences that Sherry and I go to, and you could always tell who is there for the first time. And that's the person who's walking around looking gobsmacked with tears in their eyes because their life has just been changed. They are just like I described with my conference, and it happens at every conference. I get teary thinking about it. There just are different ways to connect with other people with hearing loss, and we really encourage people to do it.
And also through things like podcasts, right? Learning about this through yours, Deborah. And also through books and through documentaries. So that was one of the reasons that we made We Hear You, because we felt like people didn't necessarily understand what living with hearing loss is all about. You know, a lot of the mainstream media presentations about hearing issues are focused mostly on the deaf community. So using sign language to communicate. And that's much easier to see, right? Because it's visible. People are actually communicating in a different way. Mm-hmm. But the vast, vast majority of people with hearing loss do not use sign language. They are not part of the deaf community. So we really tried to make this documentary, We Hear You, which would show that other side of the experience and hopefully, you know, create some community, but also to raise awareness just with, you know, Gail was talking about the hearing people, to raise awareness with just the mainstream audience about what it is like to have hearing loss.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point, because that's why we're talking about it today. And it isn't necessarily ourselves that have hearing loss. We may learn something from listening to the podcast, for instance, that can help our loved ones as well. So it's really, it isn't something that the person that has hearing loss has to do all of the work. We're living in a society together. And I think what I'm hearing from both of you is you're normalizing a normal situation that has been stigmatized as being abnormal in some respects. And I think that normalizing aspect, I mean, it's not unlike the whole purpose of my podcast, Own the Gray, normalizing getting older. I mean, we're all getting older. There's no sugarcoating any of that, right? And it is something that if we accept it for what it is, and then we're empowered to just stand and be in that. So if we have hearing loss, we have hearing loss. It isn't a problem. It's just something that we need some skills to be able to be in the right space with, so that we can help ourselves and help others too.
I mean, I love that. I love what you're saying. It also, though, shouldn't underestimate the impact that it has on relationships. My husband, who I refer to as the hearing husband in all my writings, some people love to meet the hearing husband. I think they feel sorry for him. But even after over 30 years together, every day there's something that comes up with hearing loss, that because it changes how you interact with people. We have needs. We need you to face us. We need to get our attention. Communication between hearing people, it is very organic. Someone says something, someone else responds. It's very, hearing people do it without thinking. It's what they do. They hear, they can't help it. It's organic. For us, we work at it. We need to, and it's not just hearing, it's understanding. So I'm lucky. And Sherry, we've met each other's husbands. I wouldn't call them long suffering, but they've had to adapt. And in our book, we talk about some very tense moments in our relationship in which we've had to sit down with our families. And this conversation can happen over and over through the years. This is a skill. It takes time and effort. And the other people, the people in our lives, our children, our spouses, it impacts them. It becomes their hearing loss as well. And they have to learn and they have to apply skills as well. So hearing loss has its biggest impact on relationships. And we focus a lot on that in our book.
Mm-hmm. And so, Sherry, with your book, what are you hoping the reader is going to get out of it?
Oh, I love that question. I love that. I hope a couple of things. I hope the reader is going to feel connected to other people with hearing loss and just feel a little bit less alone in their struggles. I hope that they read it and see themselves on the page and just say, you know, I'm going through this process, this journey, and I'm not the only one that's going through it. And so I know that things can be better because of reading this book and following some of these skills. I also hope that people will share this book with their friends and family, because like Gail said, it's really a two-way street communication, right? That's what life's all about to some extent, is communicating and that connection. And because there are things that both sides of the equation, the person with hearing loss and the communication partner, need to bring to the table, I hope they're going to use the book as a way to maybe broach the subject of hearing loss with an important person in their life or their family members or their friends and say, this is an insight into what I'm going through and how we can work on this together. So we hope it really brings people together in a lot of ways.
Beautiful. And Gail, what are you hoping for the book?
Oh my gosh. I'm hoping that Sherry Ebert stays my friend forever. That was a brilliant, brilliant. I really can't add more than that, because that really sums it all up. It was so beautifully said, Sherry. So, you know, ditto everything she said. And I think that someone stands up empowered. And we've heard back from a few people and said, I read your book and I stood up for my needs. I expressed myself. And whenever we hear that, that's why we write the book. You don't normally get rich writing a book. We've discovered that, and that's fine. But and truly, I'm just teasing. We wrote this book because it was a way for us to get our philosophies and to share our personal experience. So everything she said, plus my little extra 2 cents worth.
It's beautiful. Well, I'm really glad that you're both working towards bringing better hearing to a world in need. Thank you for the work you're doing. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Deborah. It was a joy to be here.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your good work to empower people to age well and age with skills and gracefully. It's all part of the same process.
You can now find my podcast, my book, and soon my classes on babyboomer.org, the ultimate, most trusted source for news, information, and community. They've curated all the resources on the things that interest you. Check it out today at babyboomer.org. This episode brought to you by Lunch with a Healer podcast. The best conversations happen when you're having lunch with a friend, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair at lunchwithahealer.com.